Friends, Chris Marcus here with you for Arcata Economics on Wednesday, November 26th. And most importantly, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Only one more day, but we'll be off tomorrow. And just wanted to leave you with a bit of news that was happening here today that actually we wrote about a couple of months ago, although now Bloomberg talking about how the silver stockpile slump in China poses a new risk to a hot market. So a lot happening out there. Quick look at the pricing. You see, gold is up 30 bucks now, continuing to rally. Silver up just under a dollar. And worth noting here is that silver spread between London and New York, which blew out last month when London ran into a silver shortage, has widened back out. Now it's up to 40 cents there. To put this in context, back on October 7th, now normally futures price trades over the spot price. So even when it goes to even, that's out of line. When it goes underneath that, which is what happened, it means it's further out of line. And on October 7th, it was 20 cents inverted. By the 8th, it was 50 cents inverted. By the morning of the 9th, it was $1.20 inverted. A couple hours after that, it got as high as 250 inverted. I believe the peak throughout all of that was 95 cents inverted, came back as the metal went from China and the COMEX over to London, which helped ease their crisis. So we saw that spread come back in. Actually got into normalization where the futures for a brief, I think it was a day or two, was over the spot price, but then went back into backwardation, had been about 10, 20 cents, then has widened over the last day or two. And perhaps this is going to offer some clues of why, because we see, as I mentioned, the silver stockpile problem. You took it from China and the COMEX to send it over to London to whack that mole, and now we have another one popping up. And actually, before we dig into that, just so you can actually see what this looks like, here was the peak back in late 2020. Been coming down steadily since then. I've mentioned Bai Zhaojun, many of you know on Twitter, who's in China, and he's been talking about how we're getting to low points in the silver stockpile here. Sure enough, we have dropped from about 2,500 to 1,500 ounces, tons rather, and here down to 1,235. So right about there, and you're seeing again the impact play out in the market. It's one thing to say, well, here it was lower, and then there it was lower. But as we're seeing, becoming a little bit problematic again on Bloomberg, not just a YouTube channel. So, to some degree, going out to the institutional audience, hearing the global silver market faces a fresh risk after Chinese stockpiles sank to the lowest in a decade, with huge volume recently shipped to London to ease the squeeze that drove prices to a record. So, if the London short squeeze drove the silver price to an all new time high record in the history of planet Earth, what is a Chinese silver squeeze going to do, especially as they continue to use a lot of silver in manufacturing over there? Inventories in the Shanghai Futures Exchange and Gold Exchange back to the smallest in more than 9 years. That is what you see here. Shanghai Gold Exchange holds silver, and then the Pink Shanghai Futures Exchange. So that was that. That's that same combined total that they are referencing there. And silver had a tumultuous year, you could say that. And the slump in Chinese holdings means the country may not be able to provide a backstop in the near term. They also mentioned that they were putting restrictions on silver exports as well as a few other metals. And well, they have the restrictions on them. Now they have a new restriction that they might not have it to feed the market. This also raises the other question. I said, even with in London, where they got, I guess it had been about 55 million ounces of silver. And then last week, it had slowed down, but then there was another surge last week. So good chunk has been added, yet given when you look at the comparison between the free float and the daily turnover, it still seems short. And as we're running a deficit, especially if you ever have the retail silver market become a buyer again, let alone if metal continues to go into the ETFs, and what would be the thing that could make it most likely for metal to go into the ETFs, I would say would certainly be that if you see the price start rising again. And if China is running into a shortage, certainly the type of thing that could lead the price to rise. which we're seeing today. Saw on Monday, took a little day off yesterday, but now the come on, there you go. The spot price ticking up. That was over a dollar for a second there. So Chinese issues lead the price to rise. If it goes past that $54 or $55 mark, that would strike me as the type of thing that would get institutional funds putting money back into silver ETFs. And if that happens, that's more pressure on the LBMA. And I might add, I went to the Silver Institute dinner last week, 2 weeks ago, and I asked Philip Newman there, who does the data for Metals Focus. He gave a presentation, and I said, "Is this a band-aid or a long-term solution?" And neither him nor anyone else there seemed confident that they could come out and say this is a long-term solution, and especially if demand picks back up. Well, you're seeing it in action. Your Zhui Wu says the tightness stems from rising exports to London, and the shortage may ease in about 2 months, he said. Interesting. Might ease in 2 months, might not. I mean, I guess what happens if demand stays above supply? Might make it hard to ease in 2 months. Prices have rallied 80% this year. So there you go. Everyone who was sitting there last couple of years saying, like, oh, how come gold's moving and silver's just sitting here? And I include myself in that at times as well. Although, remember how Rick Rule came on a couple of times and says, well, every time gold moves first and then silver goes when it goes. Sometimes you wait 10 or 15 years in between that, but it went when it went. And again, we're seeing why there is reason to believe that could continue to go. We have continued strong demand in India. That pulled silver into the US, tightening the London market just as India demand boom, triggering a historic squeeze. What happens if India takes another step forward in one of their massive solar plants? Which I think, if you look back, there was a spike in Indian imports in the beginning of last year, 2024, which they didn't put out an official statement. But if you connect a few stories, which we won't go into today, seemed like they had a big chunk come in on behalf of whatever the government was doing with their solar program, which, if you look at the projections, is quite massive. So now, with that said, I know there is a lot of thrifting going on. Wonder if we've reached or gotten close to the point how much more they can thrift. They've taken a lot of these newer panels, especially the ones that you heard that were being made that used more silver in the newer panels. Although those, while they initially used a lot more silver, that's what they've really been targeting, bring the percentage down. Silver Institute has forecast a lower solar amount for this year, even though the overall amount of solar installed capacity has risen. With the thrifting accounting for that. But do you get to the point where, there's only 5% of what the original amount left in there? Can you get it much lower? I'll check back in on that. But here you see, reflecting the tightness in China, near-term silver prices have topped later-dated contracts in Shanghai, a pattern known as backwardation that signals short-term pressure. So now they got backwardation in China too. And low inventories and so-called inelastic or sticky supply concerns, which remain elevated. And actually, they had some notes here. The consumption of silver for photovoltaics has risen, and the fourth quarter is typically peak season for solar installations. I'm not sure what the time lag is, where are they going to be installing things that were built in the third quarter? But anyway, we'll keep an eye on that since it's apparently peak season there. There they mentioned the recent tax. I will dig into that in a Substack piece in the near future because they did have some changes in their VAT tax. And as a result of everything that's happening, though, many merchants are uncertain how to price their products after the new rules. So some shifted focus to silver, especially if they have some silver business. And here we're talking about the gold VAT. Okay, which I thought only applied to gold and not necessarily silver, but is impacting silver. Outside of China, silver market liquidity remains a concern, with borrowing costs still elevated in London despite a record inflow into the UK capital. They're also waiting for that Section 232 report, which will detail whether the U.S. has decided that silver is a strategic, critical, strategic critical mineral, whichever way you want to call it. And their solution to that is to place a tariff on. So we don't have enough. Let's tariff it so people send less here. That's what the Section 232 report will finally determine, which was due out mid-October, but then you had the government shut down. I've not seen any indication of when that is coming out yet. I check again. I don't know that anyone knows. Now you would think they will say, all right, this is a critical mineral. Let's not put a tariff on imports. But government does a lot of things that don't always make sense. But again, all right, so some of this you'd say like, all right, well, that's great this is happening, but what does it mean? Although you're seeing that reflected in this spread, which has now widened back out again. And that is a one that you will want to keep an eye on, which we'll be doing here for you. So just hit the subscribe button and the notification bell so that as these things happen, you can be notified. A few last quick notes after all that hubbub last week. Oh no, the Fed's not going to cut interest rates in December, even though I saw yesterday Trump target to name his new Fed chairman nominee in December. So that should be a Christmas present for the gold and silver markets. And here we are back to 83% at a cut in December. Also, if you're wondering now, this stuff that's happening in China with the silver now, where could I have? I wish I'd known about that in advance. Well, here we are back on November 10th. This is the Arcadia Economics Gold and Silver Daily Substack, which you can find at goldandsilverdaily.substack.com. And did mention that a couple of weeks ago. So that is out there in case you find that helpful. Although, with all of that said, we will start wrapping up for now because it's almost 11 o'clock on the 26th for everyone who is traveling. I do hope you go out there and travel safely and have a wonderful time with your family. Tell them you did think about it. All your family members who thought you were nuts for gold and silver, you can finally, in a loving way, say at the Thanksgiving dinner table, you bring out your ounce of silver at $50 a pop and show that off. And more than anything, hopefully you can take some time and just appreciate whichever things are going well in life, even if there are some challenges out there as well. And I thank you for following along as we've gone through this saga together. And lastly, I will leave you with a musical note because I have launched the Arcadia Music Substack, which I think many of you know. Come on there, that I'm a musician. And fortunately, we have some good music going up there. If we can get that to load. And I might add that I'm about to post a short documentary I just made from this year's Hulaween Festival a couple of weeks ago. And we'll play a little snippet of that here. The whole thing going to be released on Friday on the Substack. And I'll give you a little taste of what you missed this year.